This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. With another hour of old-time radio crime, this is Case Closed, brought to you every Wednesday by RelicRadio.com. Got two more stories for you, beginning with Richard Diamond, private detective. We'll hear the Chapel Hill case, his story that aired in December of 1950. After that, it's the adventures of Ellery Queen and the Three Frogs, his story from April 29th, 1948.
Diamond, private detective, starring Dick Powell.
Diamond Detective Agency. Roses are red, violets are blue. Crime doesn't pay, but see that you do.
Oh, Rick.
Oh, hi, Helen, baby.
Rick, have you ever thought of writing holiday greeting cards?
No. But then you might just have a thought there. Christmas isn't far away.
I think you'd better aim toward April Fool's Day.
Oh, sweet. Helen, did you call just to insult my creative genius, or do I get an invitation to dinner?
Well, the genius I didn't even recognize. The dinner, well, oh, maybe.
Here I am, a poor, starving detective, and you confront me with maybe.
Oh, well, a girl can't be too careful about who she invites into her house these days. Do you have references?
From the best crooks in town.
Oh, well, I suppose it's all right. Come around to the back door and I'll have Francis fix you a sandwich.
Well, now, don't go to all that bother, Helen. I'll just stop off at the mission.
Oh, you fool. Are you busy?
Mm-mm. Haven't had a case since... Well.
What is it?
I'm not sure, but I think a flying saucer landed outside and its occupant just walked in.
Rick, what are you talking about? Who came in?
Well, it looks like an Otis Loveloon. But it's awake.
Oh, Diamond.
Got a vocabulary like Otis, too.
Look, Shamus, hurry up, will you? I got business with you.
Helen, I have no choice but to hang up. This man speaks with such authority.
Oh, Rick. If Otis is there, go easy on him. You'll tease that poor boy out of his mind.
Helen, he... Oh, no, it's too obvious. I won't say it.
I'll see you at dinner.
Bye. Well, well, well. Sergeant Otis Loveloon. What brings you up here? Want me to sign your report card?
The lieutenant sent me up, wise guy.
Oh?
Now, let's see where they put that paper.
Paper?
Oh, here. Mr. Richard Diamond, we of the 5th Precinct, having missed your sparkling personality, do hereby invite you to a tea to be held this pump.
This what?
This pump. That's what it says.
Let me see that paper. Otis, that's P.M.
Well, don't that spell...
No. Hey, what is all this? A tea at the 5th Precinct?
Sure. It's my idea. The lieutenant says we gotta be more formal from now on. And he wants to see you. So?
So this is your idea of being formal.
That's right. Trouble with you, Diamond, is you got no culture.
Well, I'm hurt, Otis. You say Walt wants to see me?
Yeah, he sent me in a squad car for you.
Well, I can hardly wait to find out what this is all about.
Me too. I delivered a letter to him this morning. He's been a changed man ever since.
A letter? Maybe he... Oh, no. Walt's too old for the draft. And so yours truly was ushered into a waiting squad car. Usually, Walt Levinson let me wear out shoe leather on my trips to the 5th Precinct, and his hospitality was overwhelming. Otis even stopped on the way and bought me some chewing gum. Of course, it was Otis's favorite brand, but then I'm no prude. I enjoy blowing bubbles.
He's in here, Diamond. Take off your hat.
What?
New rule.
Oh, no.
Here he is, Lieutenant.
Well, I got eyes, you nuns. Thank you, Sergeant Otis.
Oh, thank you, Lieutenant. It was a pleasure.
You may take your leave now, Sergeant Otis.
Yes, sir, Lieutenant Levinson.
Otis, curtsy and get out of here, will you? This is killing me.
Oh, you had to go and ruin it all.
Walt, what's going on down here? Look at your desk.
What's wrong with my desk?
Well, it's tidy. Everything's in place. Are you ill?
Mr. Diamond, a man's desk reflects his character. Now, please be seated.
I think I'd better take this standing. This new trend in character is amazing.
Rick, look at this.
Looks like an ordinary letter to me.
Yes, but what's in it?
Well, you tell me what's in it.
Rick, I've been invited to speak at the annual Peace Officers Symposium at the University of North Carolina.
So?
So? Well, don't you know what this means? The top men from all over the country will be there. And to be a speaker, well, that's quite an honor.
Oh, comes the dawn. So this is why everything around here has become formal, huh?
Sure. After all, we got to have a little dignity.
Mm-hmm. Why send for me? In a squad car yet?
Well, it's like this, Rick. I'm supposed to make a speech concerning juvenile delinquency in New York.
Uh-huh.
Now, they also want someone to make a speech on the relationship between the policeman and the private detective.
Touching.
They told me to pick out a good man and bring him down. So I picked you.
Oh, Walt, you're so thoughtful. Sorry, but speeches aren't my line.
Ah, Rick, don't be that way. We'll have a good time. We leave tonight from Penn Station, get there in the morning. It'll be a nice vacation.
Walt, I can't afford a nice vacation. While I'm down there over the weekend, I might miss a client. I'll get somebody else.
Rick.
Well?
Remember last year when we decided to give all the private detectives an examination to find out whether or not they were still qualified to operate?
Sure, why?
Well, I just heard the commission may call another examination this year.
So what's this got to do with me going to North Carolina?
Well, last year, remember, I didn't exactly help you. Just a cough here and there when I saw you were writing the wrong answer.
Go on.
I was just thinking. Maybe this year I won't have a cold.
Oh, now, Walt.
Rick, this trip to North Carolina means a lot to me. All kidding aside, it's a big honor. Now, be a pal and go along.
Well, Walt.
Ah, that's a boy. I'll have the ticket clerk line up 2 tickets.
All right, Walt, I'll agree on one condition.
Shoot.
Well, I realize you're now a man of dignity, and I know that you think things should be more formal.
Yeah?
But for Pete's sake, take that doily off the lie detector.
Oh.
That's a nice, healthy groan. What's the matter, Walt? Train rides make you ill or something?
No, but I just had a horrible thought. I was so excited about leaving, I forgot. Otis will be in charge while I'm gone.
Oh, great. This is the biggest boon to crime since Prohibition.
Don't remind me of it.
I'll take your mind off of it. Look at the more pleasant things in life.
Like that blonde up front?
Oh, you're catching on, Fatty. Cute, isn't she?
I guess so. Only she keeps looking around. Sort of suspicious-like.
Walt, can't you take your mind off crime once in a while?
All right, I'm sorry I brought it up.
Everyone isn't criminal, you know. She's probably a co-ed on her way back to school.
That's your opinion. Me? I say she's got criminal connections.
Well, I have a buck that says you're wrong.
All right, you're on. How do we find out?
Walt, you're so naive. Look, she's going to the club car. Come on.
Now, where'd she go?
Well, there she is at the end of the car. Come on.
Hey, Rick, maybe we shouldn't. She might have a boyfriend around somewhere.
No, it's all right, Walt. I have you to protect me. Pardon me, miss...
Yes?
I'm Richard Diamond, and this is Walt Levinson. Walt says he'd like very much to meet you, but he's the shy type and asked me to Miles Standish for him.
Diamond!
Well... You Americans, you are certainly direct in making the acquaintance of young women. But I cannot remember anyone who has done it in so few words.
Well, we're really harmless, and we would like to buy you a drink.
Why, I think that would be very nice.
Good. Let's order before Diamond proposes for me.
Oh, the waiter seems to be busy at the other end of the car.
Well, I'll go down there and get the drinks. Excuse me.
Are you traveling far, Miss...
Krona. Isabel Krona. Hmm. I'm on my way to North Carolina.
Oh, well, how nice. So are we. Do you live in New York?
No, I'm from Switzerland.
Oh, then you're a long way from home.
Yes. But I love traveling in your country. Everything is so beautiful. This is my first trip, but I hope to return.
Pleasure trip or business?
Oh, a little of both. I'm representing my country's police department at the North Carolina Symposium. Oh, perhaps I should explain that. You see, they are holding a convention...
Never mind, we know. That's where we're headed for, too.
Well, such a coincidence. You're a police officer?
Yes, that's right. Walter, lieutenant, and I'm in business for myself.
Well, here we are. Hope Scotch is all right.
Fine. Thank you.
Here, Diamond. Pardon my thumb.
Scotch and fingerprint ink. What a combination.
Mr. Diamond tells me that you are a policeman, Mr. Levinson.
Yes, but don't let that frighten you. It's a tough life. But off duty, we're just like everyone else. Why, I remember...
Walt, before you start telling her all about crime, let me tell you something. She happens to be a policewoman.
What? Well, I'll be.
You certainly will.
A flatfoot in high heels.
Well, sometimes it is advantageous, Lieutenant. If I were easily recognized as a policewoman, well, my usefulness would be at an end.
Well, I wouldn't exactly say that.
Let's have another.
By the time our train reached Raleigh, North Carolina, we were old friends. From Raleigh, we took a bus to Chapel Hill, where the university was located. As we got off the bus, a short, red-faced man came up to greet us.
Hello there. Hello, my name is Kevin, Christopher Kevin. I take it you folks are here for the Peace Officer Symposium.
That's right. I'm Levinson from New York. This is Ms. Isabel Crona, and this is Richard Diamond.
Yeah, I'm very glad to. How are you?
I
am the chairman of the Institute. We're taking a group picture on the front steps, and I think you're about the last to arrive. We can get started with the picture now.
Ah, this is a police convention, all right. Here, 2 minutes, and lawyer Phil Potts wants to mug you.
You three in the back row there, move in closer, please.
Well, that's one suggestion I don't mind. Bother you, dear?
Well, since it's all for art, I do not think I might.
That's it. Now, we just... Oh, my! You in the front row, you've moved again. Now, you've got...
Our little friend is having a rough time.
Yes.
My goodness, what's the matter?
That man, the photographer.
What about him?
He...
All right.
Oh, it is nothing.
All
it just
right.
Looks so familiar.
Everybody smile. Easy now. Don't strain. Don't easy. Oh, no. The third row. Will you please stand still?
The little photographer pulled out a few hairs from his head and patiently rearranged his subjects. Half an hour later, he had succeeded in snapping enough pictures and the group disbanded. Miss Croner promised to have dinner with us that evening. So a couple of hours later, Walt and I were walking down the hall to her room. Playing like gentlemen, we knocked on a door that was half ajar. No answer. Still the gentleman, we knocked again. This was getting monotonous, so we quit being gentlemen.
We shouldn't walk right in, Rick.
Oh, come on. Maybe she forgot. After all... Uh-oh.
What?
She didn't forget, Walt. Look.
Good Lord.
Better get on the phone and call the local peace officer. We have no jurisdiction here. Not even for murder. Walt and I stared down at Isabel Croner's body on the floor. What had once been a pretty head was now crushed and wasn't a very pleasant sight. Walt called the local sheriff and we waited until he arrived.
Well, you say you two found the body?
That's right, Sheriff. My name's Diamond. This is Walt Levinson. We're here for the Peace Officers Symposium.
Oh, yeah. And who was she?
Name was Croner, Isabel. She was a policewoman from Switzerland.
Well, the coroner will be finished in a few minutes. Darndest thing I ever heard of. A policewoman gets killed right smack in the middle of a gathering of the best cops in the country.
Now, we called you right away. We figured if the news leaked out, every cop in the place would try and catch the murderer. They'd all run into each other, make a real mess.
Yeah, but we'd better keep it quiet till we can make an investigation. You all seem to know some of the facts about her. Care to give me a hand?
Sure would, Sheriff. Mr. Diamond here is a private detective, though. There's no client, Rick. Do you want to work on it?
Well, that's a nasty poke, Walt. I'm as anxious as you are to catch this girl's killer.
Good. Now, any reason you know of why anyone would want to get rid of her?
I can't think of any. She said this was her first trip to this country.
Johnson... Check with the hotel manager. See if he saw anyone come in who might have entered this room. Now, let's see. Looks like she was hit with a heavy instrument.
Yeah. We noticed what might be a clue over here, Sheriff. There, on the floor.
Ah, a little vial.
We figure it might have fallen from the killer's pocket during the struggle. It's marked silver nitrate. There might be some prints on the bottle.
Well, let's hope there are. We can use a few breaks in this case.
What do you think about Simmons?
Oh, he seems like a competent sheriff.
He wants us over at his office after we have dinner.
Yeah, he's sending the vial onto the lab in Raleigh. I hope they turn up something.
What beats me is, why was Isabel Croner killed? Who did she know here?
Walt, I...
What's the matter, Rick?
I was just thinking. Remember when we had our picture taken earlier today?
Sure, why?
That little photographer. Isabel seemed to recognize him. She shrugged it off when I asked her about it, but she had a strange look on her face.
Yeah, you might have something there. At least there's one person who might have known her. Let's look him up and ask him a few questions.
Oh, no, no. On second thought, I don't think we'd better. If he did kill her and we asked questions, he might leave town. Let's just keep an eye on him till the lab has a chance to go over that vial.
Right. Here's a drugstore. We can look up his address.
Luckily, we found that the fair city of Chapel Hill had only one photographer, the little man who had snapped our picture that morning. His name was William Avery, and we jotted down his address. 10 minutes later, we were waiting outside his studio.
Can you see him through that window, Rick?
Yeah, he's putting on his hat. Move back into that doorway. He's coming out. Come on.
Let him get farther ahead. That's good. Let's go. Uh-oh, Rick, he's stopping.
Yeah. Hey, there he goes into that restaurant. Come on, let's go across the street.
Still think we ought to question him?
No, wait. If he thinks no one suspects him, he may let his guard down. Let's just wait here. We can watch him through the window.
The waitress is taking his order.
Good. Well, I'm going to take a chance. If he's ordering dinner, he'll be in there for a little while. I'm going back to his studio and look around.
Hey, now, Rick, you can't just break in there. We have no jurisdiction down here.
And someone had no jurisdiction to kill Isabel Kroner. I'm sorry, Walt. There might be something in that studio to pin this on Avery.
Okay, you win. But I'll go back and look around. I was breaking in houses while you were still breaking in rattles.
Okay, Grandpa. Don't let anyone hear your bones creak. You find anything in the studio, Walt?
And how? Our friend Avery has a broken camera. It's been smashed.
Oh. Hey, hold it. Here he comes out of the restaurant. Oh, looks like he's heading for his studio. You say his camera was smashed?
Yeah, found it in the closet. Didn't the coroner say Isabel had been killed with a heavy instrument?
That's right. You know, Walt, this may fit. After Avery took the picture, you recognized Isabel. Then still with his camera, you went to see her. They fought and he bashed her with it.
I'll buy that.
I mean, maybe we're just grabbing at straws. We still need something concrete to tie Avery in with that murder. Hey, wait a minute.
Huh?
Look up ahead there. He's got an apple. Look at the way he's eating it.
Well, what about it?
Well, he's only biting it on the right side of his mouth.
So what?
I have a hunch, that's all.
Well, if it's about that apple, forget it. He just threw it away.
Yeah?
Well, what's all this about, anyway?
Let him go on, Walt. We'll know where to find him. And besides, I want this apple.
Holy cow, what are you doing in the gutter? If you're that hungry, I'll buy you a whole apple.
No, thanks. Come here, Walt. Look at this apple.
Mm-hmm.
The teeth marks show it's only been chewed on one side of the mouth. Now, maybe that's just habit. I don't know. Or maybe Avery has bad teeth.
So no matter what it is, how does it help us?
I think it may help a lot. Let's get back to the sheriff.
Well, it's about time you fellas got here. Thought you were coming over right after dinner.
I'm sorry, Sheriff, but we followed a hunch. You know a photographer here in town named Avery?
Bill Avery? Why, sure. He's the best photographer in town. Came down about a year ago. Why?
We think he killed Isabel Kroner.
Well, now, what makes you think a thing like that?
Well, so far it's nothing concrete, but Isabel seemed to recognize him today.
Yeah, so we followed him. And later I found a broken camera in his studio. We think it's the death weapon.
Well, now, a broken camera is hardly enough to convict a man.
Oh, we know that, Sheriff, but here's something else. You remember that vial of silver nitrate we found by Isabel's body?
Sure. What about it?
Well, some dentists prescribe silver nitrate for use on the gums in case of infected teeth. Now, look at this apple Avery was chewing. The teeth marks show it's been eaten only with the right half of the jaw.
So?
So that could indicate Avery has had bad teeth and may have been using silver nitrate on his gums.
Now, that's downright clever. Of course, it still don't prove nothing.
Well, it might, though. Send this apple on to the lab. If they find traces of silver nitrate on it, it will at least indicate Avery was in Isabel's room.
Yeah, and I've been thinking. It might just be a wild guess, but if the girl recognized Avery, he probably recognized her. He might be a big European criminal. He was afraid she'd turn him in, so he killed her.
Now, you may have something there, Walt. A transatlantic call to the Swiss Detective Bureau might clear up his real identity.
Now, boys, before you go running up my phone bill, let's just take it nice and easy, like this broken camera, silver nitrate apple, and motive. It's all mighty interesting. But I don't think we'd better waste time sending this apple to the lab. Doubt if they'd find anything on it.
Well, you'll at least check it, won't you?
No. Like I say, all these things are real interesting. But there's just one thing stands in the way of me trying to arrest Avery.
What are you getting at, Sheriff?
Well, while you boys were out playing cops and robbers, I caught the murderer.
What?
Yep, nothing fancy. Just thorough routine investigation. I sent a man to check the hotel manager. He hadn't seen anyone, but he said the maid was due to clean that room about the time of the murder. We questioned her. She got nervous and broke down. Confessed she killed Crona.
But why?
Lieutenant, what's the reason for most of the killings in your state every year? What's the motive?
Well, robbery's mostly the motive.
That's right. And it's the same down here. The maid told us she was going through Crona's purse when Crona came in and caught her. She got frightened, picked up a vacuum sweeper attachment, and hit her with it. You know how berserk a petty thief can get when they're afraid they'll be caught.
Yeah, but the silver nitrate and the apple.
Well, the apple's coincidence. The silver nitrate belonged to Crona. She, too, had bad teeth.
Well, I'll be...
Move over, Walt. That makes two of us.
Yes, sir? When I heard all you fellas were having a big convention down here, I said to my deputy, Peter said, we're going to see ourselves some fancy investigating if anything should happen while those fellas are here. Only I'm sure sorry you went to all that trouble for nothing.
Rick, don't speak to me. I'm still brooding.
Well, at least we got through the speeches.
Yeah.
Would have been a swell trip if it wasn't for that hunch of yours.
Oh, now that's it. Blame it all on me.
Apples and silver nitrate.
And what about you? Broken camera and that motive. Big European criminal.
All right. Sort of funny, though. That poor little photographer.
Yeah. We were all set to send him to the chair. Walt.
Huh?
Maybe we shouldn't say anything about this when we get back.
I was thinking the same thing. If Otis ever hears about it, we'll be disgraced for life.
Yeah. Let's just forget it. Look at the more pleasant things in life.
Yeah. Like that little redhead up front?
Mm-hmm. I was just kind of... I have a feeling we've been through all this before.
You're right.
Well, shall we have a game of cards, Walt?
Diamond Private Detective stars Dick Powell in the title role and was written by Blake Edwards with music composed and conducted by Frank Worth. This is Bill Foreman speaking. Richard Diamond Private Detective is transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle.
Of a safer American home, a happier American community, a more United States. The American Broadcasting Company and its affiliated stations bring you Ellery Queen.
I dedicate this program to the fight against crime. Not only crimes of violence and crimes of dishonesty, but also crimes of intolerance, discrimination, and bad citizenship. Crimes against America.
The American Broadcasting Company presents another case in the career of Ellery Queen, celebrated fighter of crime. As usual, Ellery invites you to match wits with him as he relates the mystery. And before revealing the solution, he gives you a chance to solve it. Tonight, Ellery's guest armchair detective, who will represent you home armchair detectives, is the famous columnist of Daily Variety, Miss Florbel Muir. And now, here's Ellery Queen, your host for the next half hour.
Thank you, Paul Masterson, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's case is much more Nicky's than mine. I urge everyone interested in the problem of juvenile delinquency to listen to The Three Frogs. Nicky, so you decided to find a new apartment, but did you have to pick the east side, the slums?
Around this corner, Ellery.
Garbage tossed out the front window, gangs of young hoodlums. Nicky, do you know what the incidence of crime is in this neighborhood? Well, for the love of...
That three-story and basement brownstone over there, Ellery. Take it back, Mr. Q.
Oh, insane. Around the corner and... It's a very nice street.
Nothing wrong with the house, either.
You sure the place isn't haunted? There must be something wrong with it.
I'd like to see the ghost who could make me move. Thanks, Ellery.
Oh, wait, Nicky, I'll go up with you. I'd like to see that apartment.
Nothing doing. You'll wait till I fix it up.
Well, all right. See you tomorrow, Nicky.
Night, Ellery.
Night. Good evening.
Oh, good evening.
I believe we're neighbors. My name is Stanklin, Clyde Stanklin.
Oh, yes. You're on the floor above me, Mr. Stanklin. My name is Nicky Porter.
How do you do? No, allow me, Miss Porter.
Oh, thank you.
You know, young women really shouldn't live in this neighborhood.
Why not, Mr. Stanklin?
Too much crime. There was just a... Oh, Mr. Gazelle.
What's wrong with you?
Miss Porter, Mr. Gazelle, top floor.
Hello, Mr. Gazelle.
How shall I tell you this? Mr. Stanklin... Did you hear?
Mr. Gazelle was reporting the UN for a Paris paper, Miss Porter.
Yes.
How thrilling.
No, mademoiselle. Very dull. I'd much rather report your crime news. Monsieur, did you hear on the radio?
That street fight 2 blocks away?
Oh, no.
Yes, Gazelle, I've just been over there. Bad.
Then it is where I'm going. Pardon, mademoiselle.
Certainly.
Hello, is this Paris?
Was anybody hurt, Mr. Stank?
Yes. Gang of hoodlums, mere boys, started it.
Oh, dear.
Well, I'll be saying goodnight.
Good night, Mr. Stanklin.
Good night, Miss Porter.
Now, where was that light switch again? Oh. What?
Yeah, this is a real rat, sister, so don't get no ideas.
What are you doing in my apartment?
I was in a fight. I'm on the lam from the lousy cops.
Aren't you a little young to be afraid of policemen? How old are you?
Stay where you are. 14 and no cracks.
14. And what's your name?
Frankie Clough. And you're going to hide me out, sister.
You're bleeding. Still, Frankie. I know it hurts, but I've got to wash some of this blood away, Frankie. There's no use fumbling around for your artillery. I've hidden it.
You... It's a trap. Sister, you call the cops and I'll... Who's that?
Yes? Who's there?
Police.
Cops? You call them? You...
Be quiet.
I told you, Sergeant. This is Nicky's new apartment.
Ellery.
Nicky, it's Ellery. Come on, open.
Getting out of here.
You're staying right here, Frankie, and keep your mouth shut. Coming, Ellery. Well, if it isn't EQ and Sergeant Veeley. Fine time for a visit. What's up?
All hallelujahs broke loose over on Stucker Street, Miss Porter.
I was on my way home, and I ran into the thick of it. And Veeley here.
Yeah, somebody in the back thought he saw a kid duck into the alley behind this house, Miss P.
He wouldn't be in your apartment, would he, Nicky?
A boy? Who is he? What'd he do?
Well, apparently he's done a great deal, Nicky. He's one of the ringleaders of a juvenile gang who call themselves the Frogs.
This kid is known as the Bubblegum Kid.
The Frogs pulled a big job tonight, then apparently got into a fight over the division of the spoils.
Well, what's going to happen to this boy if he's caught?
What's going to happen to him? He's going to get what's coming to him, and that's plenty.
Juvenile court, and probably the reformatory.
That's
going to cure him, won't it?
I know, Nicky, it's a tough problem. But what are we standing here in the hall for? As long as I'm here, Nicky?
Not till the place is fixed up.
Why, Nicky, you'll have me thinking you've got that young hoodlum in there.
Oh, go on away.
Come on, Sergeant. All right. Good night, Miss Porter.
Good night, Sergeant.
Night, Nicky.
Night, Ellery. Well, Frankie, you still think this is a trap?
I don't get it. Hey, lady, what are you doing?
You're going to bed. Stay bed. Hold still.
You're going to undress me?
Well, you can't go to bed with your clothes on.
I'll undress myself.
All right, Frankie. But be very careful.
You going to stay in the room?
No, Frankie. Here's a pair of my pajamas.
Put on a dame's pajamas. No soap.
Put this on, Frank. Here, I put it on for you.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
Hey, where are you going?
Well, the doctor who lives on the ground floor.
No! No, don't get no doctor!
And then, Frankie, you and I are going to have a little talk.
Young man, you'll have to hold still.
You're killing me, Doc.
This is going to hurt.
Isn't that an awfully nasty wound?
Yes, lost a lot of blood. But I wouldn't worry, Miss Porter. These slum boys are tough.
Well, Hank is no slum product, Doctor. He's my nephew.
Really? Oh. How did you get this knife wound, Frankie?
That's not from a knife. I was climbing a fence with glass on top. Cut me all up.
Oh, I see. He mustn't be moved, Miss Porter, and that wound has to be watched.
I'll be okay. Let me alone.
I'll watch it, Dr. Cordell. I've had some nursing experience.
Good. There, young man. How does that dressing feel?
Oh, great.
Should be changed every 12 hours, Miss Porter, and watch his temperature.
Yes, Doctor. What do I owe you?
Well, since we're neighbors, Miss Porter, I'll send you a bill. I'll take a look in on him tomorrow. Good night.
Good night, Doctor, and thank you. Well, that's over. Feel better?
He made me nervous. Hey, what are you doing?
Just tucking you in.
That little guy don't look like no real doctor anyway. He looks more like a toad all hunched over.
Frankie, we don't talk about other people's physical defects. Not Dr. Cordell's fault that he has a hunchback. And it's to his credit that he was able to overcome his handicap.
Handicap?
Everyone has some handicap to overcome. Some of us have to overcome the way we started out in life.
Like me, you mean? I'm doing okay.
There you are. Frankie, I think we ought to let your father and mother know where you are, don't you?
My who? Hey, what do you think I am, a Boy Scout?
No, Frank. I don't think you're a Boy Scout. You're not man enough to be one.
Say, listen, baby.
The name is Miss Porter, Frankie. Don't you have any parents?
Sure. Sure, my old man's doing a stretch and stir, and my old lady, I don't know where she is. Ain't seen her for 2 years.
I see. And where do you live, Frankie?
Oh, around. We frogs got a clubhouse, kinda. I sleep there on the floor most of the time. Hey, this bed is the nuts.
Frog?
Yeah, my gang. The big shot who organized it calls himself the Frog, and we...
Yes, Frankie? Go on, I'm interested.
I made it all up. Hey, where are you going to sleep?
In my bedroom, there. Now, you better get some rest.
Wait a second. Why are you doing all this for me? What's your angle?
Angle? Frankly, not everyone has an angle.
Oh, no. I suppose you're doing this because you like me, huh?
That's one reason.
Huh?
Another is that everybody talks about helping boys like you, but very few actually do.
Nobody's got to do nothing for me.
Frankie, I'd like you to talk to that man who was here a while ago, the one I called Ellery.
Yeah? Well, for who is he?
Ellery Queen.
Ellery Queen? That cop loving... I knew this was a trap.
Frankie, no.
I want out. Let go of me.
No, Frankie.
Go. So bushed, I can't even get away from a lousy... Dang.
You're staying right here till you get well.
This Queen will sick the cops on me.
No, Frankie, he'll help you.
His old man's a cop. He's got cop blood. I hate every lousy cop that ever
Frankie,
was...
Suppose I promise not to tell Mr. Queen about you till you say the word. How's that?
Okay.
It's a deal. Now, I'm going to turn the light off.
Say, Miss Porter.
Yes, Frankie?
I'm sorry I called you lousy dame. Night.
Good night, Frankie.
We've got to find that bubblegum kid. We've got to.
Yeah, Inspector.
Now, hold, Dad. Take it easy.
Inspector, why is this boy so important?
Because, Nicky, I think he knows who the frog is. The adult who organized the kid gang and directs their operation.
Oh, you make him talk, Inspector?
We've got to break the back of this gang. Believe, the boy is hiding out around Stucker Street somewhere. You get down there and don't come back till you find him.
Yes, sir. But, Chief, I think we've been trying to find him.
Go on, you two, go home.
Inspector.
What, Nicky?
Why do these boys hate policemen so?
Because they're on the street and they figure the officer's there to spoil their fun, Nicky.
Fear, Nicky. Hate is made by fear.
Any cop worth his salt knows he's got to sell the kids on the idea that he's their friend, which he is. They learn to obey the rules the way they've got to when they grow up.
Look at the way they have to grow up, Inspector.
I know, Nicky, but after all, we're only cops. We can't change social conditions. That's a job for everybody. And I got to report to the boss. Night.
Night, Inspector.
Night, Dad.
Well...
Nicky, why this sudden interest in slum kids?
Oh, just generally. Ellie, I've got to get on home.
Oh, sure, I'll take you.
Well, don't bother.
No bother at all. I'd like to. Come on.
Ellie, no.
What's the matter, Nicky? Isn't your apartment fixed up yet?
Oh, well, not entirely.
Or don't you want me to see the boy you're hiding out?
How'd you know?
I didn't. You just told me.
Ellery, he's only 14 years old. His father's in prison and his mother's...
Nicky, the boy's broken the law.
I know, but Ellery, he's just a child and he's hurt.
Oh. But, Nicky, if he can put the finger on this man they call the frog...
Frankie doesn't know who he is. Ellery, he doesn't.
Nicky,
I tell you, he doesn't. He sends them messages. They've never seen him. That's what Frankie says, and I believe him. But even if he's lying, to turn him over to the police now. Ellery, I want to show him that not everyone's an enemy, that there are decent people in this world. People who'll give him what he's never had. Love. And I'm doing it, Ellery. I'm getting somewhere. He's fighting me, but he's losing. Let me have him for just a little while longer, won't you? Please, please.
Nicky, if Dad ever finds out about this, you'll have to hide me out, too.
Take a look at yourself in the mirror, Frankie.
Am I sharp? Say, Aunt Nicky, this suit must have set you back plenty of moves.
Oh, never mind that. You're sure you feel well enough, Frankie?
In the pink.
Then, come on.
Well, where are we going? What's the mystery?
Well, Frankie...
Comes in. Good evening, Miss Porter.
Oh, hello.
And this is the nephew, Miss Porter?
Yes, Mr. Gazzolo. This is Frankie.
Very nice-looking boy. Hello.
Hiya.
Hello?
And Mr. Stanton.
Mr. Who?
This boy looks familiar to me.
Let's get a move on, huh, Nicky?
Oh, yes, Frankie. Nice to see you both.
Good evening, Mr. Very familiar.
Here you are.
That's Frankie. You remembered the door. Thank you.
Say, Aunt Nicky, who's that little Frenchman? What's his racket?
Why, little Mr. Gazelle is a reporter for a French newspaper.
Oh. And, who is that great big tall old guy?
Mr. Tankers? Another neighbor, apartment over mine. They say he has a strong box full of bombs in his...
Yeah?
Well, nothing, Frankie.
You scared I'd crack his box, swipe the bomb?
Would you?
You wouldn't like it, would you?
No, Frankie, I wouldn't.
That's what I thought. Stealing is for suckers. Say, where are we going, Annie?
To the subway, to Brooklyn.
Brooklyn?
I'm in there, Frankie. She's in junior high. I want you two to meet.
A girl? I'm nothing doing.
I think, Frankie, you'll find Ivy a little different from the girls you've known.
Oh. Not a tough babe, huh?
No, Frankie. I thought maybe you'd like to take Ivy and me out to movies tonight. She's terribly anxious to meet you.
She is. Huh. Sounds okay. Yeah.
Hey, not so fast.
Hey, could you let me have a dime?
Sure, Frankie, what for?
I feel like I'd like to have some bubble gum.
Oh, you walk so fast, Frankie. That's my breath.
But why won't you tell me what Ivy said, Aunt Nikki?
He might get a swelled head.
You mean she liked me?
She couldn't get over your being only 14. Of course, Ivy goes for the tall, lanky type anyway.
Well, what'd she say? What'd she say?
She said you look and act like a great big man. At least 17.
You're kidding.
No. How'd you like her, Frankie?
Oh, she's solid. I never met a girl like that before. Say, Aunt Nikki.
Yes, dear?
How soon can you fix it for me to meet Mr. Queen?
Frankie. Oh, Frankie.
I just want to... Hey, you kissed me.
Here, Frankie, take my key. Go into the house. Wait for me.
But where are you going, Annie?
To phone Ellery. So I ran over to the drugstore to call you. Ellery is so wonderful. I've won.
He must have good stuff.
Oh, he has, Ellery. He just never had a chance before, that's all. Ellery, couldn't we send him away to school? I'd pay my share. I can't swing it all along.
I want to talk to him first, Nicky.
Well, of course.
As a matter of
With the inspector? Ellery, what's the matter? Something's wrong. Does he know about Frankie?
No, it's something else. Dad, talk to Nicky. Nicky.
What is it, Inspector?
Vili just came up with a report.
The sergeant?
He found out something important. Vili. Yeah, Inspector. Tell Nicky what you told me. Reporter.
Yes, Sergeant.
You know this Fagan calls himself the Frog who runs that kid gang?
Yes.
Well, I just got one of the kids to open up. He don't know who the Frog is, but he does know where he lives.
Where, Sergeant?
In your house, Miss Porter.
My house?
Yeah, in one of those apartments, Ellie. Well, I'm okay. Nicky, you better not go back there. There may be fireworks, understand?
Yes, sir.
Dad, don't hang up. Oh, okay, son. Ellie, come on. Nicky.
Yes, Ellery.
Wait for me downstairs, Dad. Nicky, it might be wise to get the boy out of there for the time being.
Yes, Ellery.
Take him to the Y, Nicky. Park him there and come back. Quick, before we get there.
Right. Mr. Gazelle, Dr. Cordell.
Oh, yes, Miss Porter.
Mandel. Oh, what's the matter? Frankie! He's hurt. He's bleeding. It's his head, Dr. Cordell.
Mr. Gazelle, just call me, Miss Porter. I just got here.
Mr. Gazelle.
I was going out for a newspaper, Mademoiselle. I stumbled over your nephew. He was lying here in the hall. Bleeding, unconscious.
Doctor, how is he?
Oh, bad blow on the head. Doesn't seem to be concussive, but, Mr. Gato,
let me lift him. He's so big.
Here, let me help you. Hey, on so soon after.
Easy.
There. Oh! What's that?
Isn't that Mr. Stanklin?
Mr.
Stanklin, I believe.
Mr. Stanklin, what's the matter?
My bond. My life savings. My bond. I've been robbed.
Nicky.
Now look, Miss Porter.
Don't talk to me, any of you.
Nicky, in the first place, that boy is the bubblegum kid we've been looking for.
I've been looking for when all the time she had
a... I'm sorry, Sergeant. He was hurt. I had to give him his chance.
And look what he did with it.
Shut up, Billy.
In the second place, we found a wad of bubblegum stuck to Stanklin's strongbox.
And it's got the print of the kid's right forefinger smack on it. Clear as a picture.
Nicky, I'm sorry.
I suppose Frankie hit himself over the head.
Yes. Yeah. The 3-pound scale weight we found near him with blood on it was made to order for a fake. All he had to do, Nicky, was hold it high over his head and let it drop.
And his prints are on that.
Fantastic.
Dad.
What?
This could be a frame-up, you know.
Yes, that's what it is. It's a frame-up.
We now know the man whom they call the Frog, the brains of the gang, lives in this house. Then he's seen Frankie here, and he's realized Nicky was rehabilitating him. He'd want to make Frankie an example so that the kid still in the gang would be held in line. So he knocks out Frankie, presses Frankie's right forefinger into the bubble gum, robs Stanklin's strong box, and leaves the gum on the box.
And I'm Uncle Tom.
And that's just what happened.
Yeah? Didn't we find traces of bubble gum on the kid's right forefinger?
Of course you did, Sergeant. He was fine.
Wait a minute, Nicky. Were traces of gum found anywhere else on Frankie, Dad?
No, son. Just on his right forefinger. Why?
I want to talk to Frankie.
So do I.
Oh, don't get him excited, please. Maybe he's still too weak. Doctor.
Oh, hello.
Frankie's not well enough to be questioned yet, is he, Dr. Cordell?
Oh, I think so, Miss Porter.
Oh.
Even though the blow was directly on top of his head, he's made a fine recovery.
Frankie,
Aye.
Frankie, I'm sorry you two had to meet this way, but this is Ellery Queen.
Hi, Mr. Queen.
Hello, Frankie. Well, fella, it looks as if you're in a jam.
Yeah. Yeah, they told me. But I didn't do it, Mr. Queen.
Frankie, how'd you get that crack on the skull?
Well, while Miss Porter was phoning, somebody knocked on the door. I open it, and there's nobody there. I go out in the hall, and wham. That's all I remember.
Hit from behind, huh?
Yeah. And somebody was laying for me.
Frankie.
Huh?
Frankie. Who's the frog?
I don't know.
He's somebody lives in this house, kid. Now, who is he?
I don't know, I tell you. Let me alone, you lousy...
Frankie.
I'm sorry. Cops are my friends.
Can't you see he's telling the truth? The fog is Mr. Gazzo or Dr. Caudle here.
I beg your pardon.
Well, you could be, Doctor. Or maybe it's all Satan himself. Stole his own bonds or something, but Frankie had nothing to do with it.
I'm sorry, Nicky, but I'm going to have
Deb.
To... Now, stop.
Deb, I can clear the whole thing up for you.
There he goes again.
I can't help that, Sergeant, but now I know who the frog is and all the rest of it. You have the mystery. Now, suppose you home armchair detectives and our guest in the studio compare solutions. Nicky?
Certainly, Ellery. Ladies and gentlemen, meet Miss Flora Van Muir, famous columnist of Daily Variety, the Entertainment World Trade publication, and also West Coast correspondent for the New York Daily News.
Welcome to the armchair, Miss Muir. Well, you shouldn't have too much trouble solving this case tonight.
If memory serves, you've had a great deal of experience covering criminal cases as a newspaper woman.
Well, Ellery, you're correct on one thing. I have had plenty of occasions to write about actual murder cases. But when it comes to something like your thriller tonight, well, that's another story. I'm not too much on the actual solving end of the mystery.
Well, you're just being modest, Miss Muir. Now, suppose we get down to the business at hand. Tell us, who is the frog and who stole the bond?
I think the Frenchman is the frog, because that's the name we apply to Frenchmen. Probably might have taken it for that reason.
I see. Yes, many people do that use that term. What is your reason for selecting him as the guilty party?
Well, he doesn't seem to have any real connection anywhere. He seems to be running around interesting himself in crime of one sort and another. He seems to have some sort of a connection with Stangler, or attempting to get acquainted with Stangler, probably to find out whether Stangler had any bonds or not, or any money.
Thank you very much, Flora Van Muir. We'll find out in just a moment if your solution is correct. Now, here's Paul Masterson.
The economic and political upheavals this country is experiencing now as a result of the war provides fertile ground for those who sow the seeds of racial and religious prejudice. Either through ignorance or indifference, many Americans these days are using the old scapegoat technique of blaming all modern-day difficulties on racial, religious, and other minority groups. Straighten out your friends who slander a whole group because of one petty personal dislike. Encourage respect of minority religions and races. Keep America great by promoting the racial and religious freedom that made it great.
Frankie didn't steal those bonds.
Frankie? See what I tell you.
It's purely a matter of bubblegum technique. The print of Frankie's forefinger was found on the gum stuck to the old man's strongbox. Traces of gum were found on Frankie's forefinger and nowhere else. Watch a kid remove a wad of gum from his mouth. You'll find that he uses two fingers, his forefinger and his thumb. No trace of gum on Frankie's thumb, no thumbprint on the gum. Frankie never took that gum out of his mouth. Someone else did, and pressed Frankie's forefinger into it. A frame-up, as Nicky said.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think of that?
It looks as if we figured you all wrong, Frankie. Maybe, Lynn?
Sure does.
It's okay.
Second, who's the fraud? Somebody living in this house. Now, aside from Nicky, who lives here? Dr. Cordell?
The frog. The frog. Hey, remember Aunt Nicky? I said the doc looked like a Frankie.
It's all right. It doesn't bother me. And he's a child. But believe me, gentlemen, I'm not this man they call the frog.
Hey, wait a minute. Frog. The Frenchman. That's a slang word for Frenchman.
Yes, and as nasty a word, Sergeant, as kike, nigger, wop, polack, or any of the other insulting terms some people use to assert their purely imaginary superiority over their fellow citizens.
Oh, I didn't mean it that way, Maestro. I just meant
it. Franklin, his voice, that frog in his throat.
I think we can arrive at the frog by a more satisfactory route, Dad.
Oh?
What do we know the frog did? He struck Veely directly on the top of the head. But Frankie is tall. Dr. Cordell is small. Monsieur Gazeau has been described as the little Frenchman. But what about Stanklin? A big, tall man. Only Stanklin was tall enough, of the three possibilities, to strike the top of Frankie's head. Stanklin framed Frankie. Stanklin is the frog.
I think, Billy, we'll go upstairs and interview Mr. Stanklin.
Let me at him.
Thanks, Mr. Queen.
Frankie, this time I didn't have to remind you.
Boy, that was something. That was okay.
Ellery, will he have to go to court? I mean, those other charges?
I don't think we'll have much trouble in persuading the judge that Frankie deserves a chance, Nicky. He'll be put on probation in his Aunt Nicky's custody and mine.
Gee, don't start bawling. Please, Aunt Nicky. Makes it I want to bawl and sell.
Oh, now listen.
Please,
for heaven's sake. You'll have me doing it in a minute. Nicky, will you cut that out? Frankie, for the love of God. And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the solution to our mystery. Thank you, Miss Floribel Muir, for serving as our guest armchair detective this evening. As mementos of the occasion, I have for you a copy of my latest mystery anthology, The Queen's Awards, 1947, and a subscription to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine.
Oh, Paul, and what for next week, Ellery?
Well, Paul, next week. Oh, by the way, are you interested in cards?
Cards? You mean bridge, poker, and such?
Well, I... Well, it isn't about cards, Paul. Even though I call it... One Diamond. This is Ellery Queen saying goodnight until next week and enlisting all Americans every night and every day in the fight against bad citizenship, bigotry, and discrimination, the crimes which are weakening America.
That's Case Closed for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Richard Diamond, Ellery Queen, past episodes of Case Closed, and everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. Our Shoutcast stream is up and running there, and you can donate through the website. Help keep this coming to you every week. As always, my thanks to those who have helped out, and thanks for joining me today. Be back next Wednesday with Sherlock Holmes and the Secrets of Scotland Yard on another episode of Case Closed.